The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
I'd like to begin with a question today. Do you really think that we are getting anywhere with God as long as we think we are somebody? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray for thy divine illumination on the sharing of thy precious word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear ones, today we'll continue our study of the Gospel of Mark. Last week we covered the deliverance of a boy who had a dumb spirit. Now, on the way home from this experience, the disciples got into a rather heated conversation. And this is recorded in Mark 9, beginning with verse 33. Listen to it straight from the Bible. And he, that is Jesus, came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and says unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all." Friend, it says, Jesus and the disciples were on the way back from their mission trip back to the house. Well, the house here refers to Peter's house. Jesus had two headquarters on earth, two places to rest on earth. One in the north, which was in Peter's house, and one in the south, which was in the house of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. So they came to the house now, to Peter's house, returning for some rest. And as they sat down, Jesus had a question. And the question was, "What did you talk about on the way home?" And the Bible tells us when Jesus asked this question, it says, they held their peace. In other words, they didn't want to talk about it to our Lord. Have there ever been times in your life when you got away from the preacher and you got to talking about things that you would not have talked about had the preacher been present? Oh, yes, I think you have at some time or another. And then when the preacher asks you later, "On now, what did you fellows talk about together? Did you have a good time on the way home from church?" You were embarrassed to tell him what you discussed. Well, here the disciples were caught in such a predicament. Their conversation was not very high or highly spiritually speaking. And they knew, had Jesus been amongst them, they would not have disputed amongst themselves as to who would be the greatest. No, you don't talk like this when you know Jesus or the preacher is around. Let me ask you here, before we go on, is it possible that perhaps the last 24 or 48 hours you have talked about some things with somebody on the phone or with some people at work that on Judgment Day you wished you would not have talked about? Oh, may all our conversations be of spiritual excellence without embarrassment in the days to come when all things shall be brought into the light. It says Jesus perceived their thoughts. That's from the Gospel of Luke. And really, when you include Matthew and Luke, when you take all these three gospel writers together, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you get this question that was really being asked. And here it is: who shall be the greatest in the kingdom? Not just who amongst us is the greatest, but who is the greatest in the kingdom. The disciples believed that Jesus was going to set up a physical kingdom on earth, like there was under King David or King Solomon. That was their perception. And they had that perception even at the very end, when Jesus ascended to heaven. They asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" And so each one of these men had an interest to see where they would be placed in this earthly government with Jesus as king sitting on a throne in Jerusalem. Each one aspired a noble, an honorable, an exalted position because, after all, each one had forsaken everything to follow Jesus. And now, with Jesus having chosen Peter, James, and John to see him in his transfigured body, the nine began to wonder whether they were going to have a special place in the new kingdom too, or whether that place would be not be there for them. Well, the disciples scored badly in two areas, as you well know. First of all, they did not understand that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom he came to establish, was a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And secondly, they made a mistake to think that the kingdom of God would operate in a similar fashion as the kingdoms of this world. They had not yet come to realize the saying of Jesus, which came later, that his kingdom was not of this world. It was not an earthly kingdom, and therefore it would have a totally different nature than the kingdoms of the world. So, my friend, in a spiritual kingdom, men will not rush to be somebody or somebodies, but men will rush to be nobodies. In a spiritual kingdom, people will not head for the front seat, but for the back seat. In the spiritual kingdom, men will not seek to be served and be honored, but they will seek to serve and to honor others. In a spiritual kingdom, men will not seek to be vice presidents and prime ministers, but janitors. So what God's looking for is a janitor spirit in every one of us. And where we find the janitor spirit, there we find the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus himself came down to earth with a janitor spirit. He wanted his disciples to follow his example. So he said to them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." This great truth, my friend, which we're getting from this discourse, became the centerpiece of the Pauline teachings of all of Paul's 13 epistles. What John 3:16 is to the gospel, being the heart of the gospels, Philippians 2, verse 4 through 8, is the heart of the apostolic writings. And here is what it says in Philippians 2, 4 through 8. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." In other words, become unselfish. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, sought not to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a slave, and was made in the likeness of men, and being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." That is, Paul displays Jesus saying, he came down to earth taking on a servant spirit, a janitor spirit, to serve all of us and to save all of us. Oh, what a contrast with what was in the hearts of these 12. It says they disputed among themselves as to who should be the greatest, as to who should be, would be, prime minister in a new kingdom. They expected Jesus to set up here on earth, who would be or should be the Secretary of State and of Education, who would be and should be the Crown Prince. Oh, my friend, how far can our hearts be from God? How strong is the tendency within us to be somebody? How far is this servant spirit the Lord Jesus showed from our lives? How many people have I met in my 37 years of ministry who were jostling for a better position in church, for more influence, for being recognized, for being honored, for getting their way in the church. Friends, this is of the devil. The first one who ever jostled for a better position was the devil himself, when he was still called Lucifer, the head angel in heaven. He wanted to have a greater place of honor. He wanted to be equal with God, yea, even above God. He jostled for a better position. Oh, how many people in church do that. So the first sin was not the sin that Eve committed, the eating of the forbidden fruit. The first sin was a sin of pride committed by the devil himself, who thought himself better than the rest, for he was aspiring a better position than the rest. Oh, what was in the minds and the hearts of these 12 apostles when they said, "Who amongst us is the greatest?" Well, can you hear the words of Micah the prophet when he said, "What does the Lord thy God require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?" Pride is the mother of all sins. It was found in all these 12 leaders. So since pride is the mother of all sins, if you kill the mother, then you'll kill all the children, because pride begets criticism, fault-finding. It leads to adultery. It thinks it can have its own way. It looks over the wall at other women. It says, "I'm better than the rest." It leads to rebellion. It leads to selfishness and self-exaltation. Who amongst us is the greatest? What a question that was. Oh, my friend, we need to be clothed with humility, as Peter admonishes us in his epistle. God is against the proud. You never find the Holy Spirit in any one person who has pride in his heart. God resists the proud. James says, "But he gives grace to the humble." Humility is what we need. Humility fights no battles, yet it wins all wars. Humility does not defend itself, yet it is never defeated. Humility seeks nothing for itself, yet it has everything. Humility rests at the foot of the cross, yet it touches all of the universe. Humility in the hearts of men is what causes angels to wonder and God to smile. Humility draws grace, forbearance, and forgiveness, and converts it into Christ-likeness. Yes, humility, my friend, is the garment of excellence, but also an ornament of grace. We need to be delivered from this pride, this seeking higher places, this wanting to rule. We need to get back to the place of servanthood. This is why Jesus told these 12, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." How much good would be done if all husbands would have the spirit of humility, and if all wives would have likewise? How many marriages would be saved and would blossom if each party would take on the janitor spirit? How much good would be done on the job if there would be a spirit of servanthood with each of us? And how much good would be done in our schools and colleges, in our churches, if we all would put on the apron of humility and serve one another? Jesus had it. Paul had it. I need it. You need it. Well, my friend, give yourself to this ministry, and the Lord's anointing will be on you. I am Pastor Schulze, and goodbye now until then.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.